Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Misty. I'm so proud that you decided to come back in and listen. If you're new here, hi, welcome for the very first time. If you've been here for a while, I appreciate it. I'm going to give out some information before we start, before I start talking to my guests, and that is the number to the National Domestic Violence Hotline. If you are in need of an advocate, you can call that line and there's advocates on the other end. However, if you're in immediate danger, do not listen to this podcast. Hang up and dial 911. Don't put yourself in danger. If you're in a volatile domestic violence relationship, please don't listen to the podcast. That number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, that number is 1-800-799-7233. I actually will give you some advice about reaching out to your local crisis lines or your local national or your local state hotlines, because every state has a domestic violence hotline number. So just reach out to those guys if you cannot get through to the National Domestic Violence Hotline number. I know sometimes it's a little difficult to navigate through that because they stay busy. So also, domesticshelters.org is a really good resource. You can go on their website, check out your local shelters, see if your local shelters need donations, which I'm sure they do. You can do donations on that website. They're a good resource. Today's guest, I'm so proud to introduce Miss Nicole, and I hope I say your last name right, Nicole. I may just have you say it.
Nicole Schmitz.
Okay. I have Miss Nicole Schmitz and Tara Petito. And they are the, should I say, co-founders or founders?
Oh, yes.
Okay. The Gabby Petito Foundation. And welcome, girls.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's an honor to be here with you, who is a true advocate in this field, and I do look up to you, so I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank
you. Yes, thank you, Misty. Thank you so much for having us on here. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I'm so proud to have you both on here. And I mean, like we were talking a while ago, unless you're living under a rock, you should know the story of Gabby Petito, but I will just let one of you speak and tell us a little bit of backstory and kind of lead us into the foundation. And, you know, y'all could probably go back and forth if you want to and kind of explain.
Okay. Like you said, most people aren't living under a rock and probably know the story, but just in case it may happen, our beautiful 22-year-old daughter, Gabby, was murdered while she was on an amazing road trip with her fiance. Everything looked to be just beautiful online. She had a YouTube video out, van lights, just looked so much fun. And then she went missing, and I hadn't heard from her for days. And we found her 9 days later, deceased. He had taken her life and took his own not long after. Sorry to shorten that story so much, but I know we only have 30 minutes. Like you said, most people know it. So we decided we wanted to help people because we don't want what happened to Gabby to happen to them. And Tara, I don't know if you want to add to that.
We wanted to make sure it never happened to anybody else. We know Gabby isn't the only one that this has happened to. We know, and we want to stop it from and prevent it from happening in the future. Realistically, we would love for it to stop altogether. We know that will never happen, but we're on a mission to keep working at it.
And I totally go ahead, Nicole. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, Misty.
No, go ahead.
So the Gabby Petito Foundation was born in 2021, and yeah, it was quickly after, but we knew we had a moment to decide that we had to do it quickly because this was the time people were listening and paying attention, and we want to advocate and empower. Just knowledge is power. We were learning ourselves, but we want to teach others as well. So we're going to use it to help.
Yeah, Gabby gave us a huge platform. A nationwide national platform for us to help others.
She really did. She just said, here you guys go. I want you to start saving lives in my name. And I mean, I am just overwhelmed and so excited for the Gabby Foundation, Gabby Petito Foundation. I think it's so wonderful. I mean, it puts tears in my eyes whenever I watch like TikTok videos about what you guys are doing and, you know, just going on Facebook and looking at the foundation. It gives me hope for other young girls, you know, because of course we had kind of went over my own situation. You know, I was a young girl and I went through those things, you know, and it just, it makes me so honored just to be able to talk to you both and to know that we have you guys, you know, and you are advocating in Gabby's honor. And I find that so warm, like just so comforting to know that her mother and her stepmom, they're here. So, and I feel like that other young girls are going to admire and look up to you guys in such a huge way.
Gabby's already saved so many lives. And we receive, like, people send it to us. They send us the story. She helped them get out.
Wow.
She helped them leave. Because of her story, they were like, wow, it was eye-opening. This is happening to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I need to, this could happen. It, you know, domestic violence doesn't see a color. It doesn't see an age. It doesn't see social status. It doesn't see anything. It can happen to anyone. So here's this bright, beautiful, blonde hair, blue-eyed girl just loving life, living the dream, and it happened to her. It can happen to anyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's our main focuses as a foundation right now. We're looking into prevention. We want to reach the youth, you know, and a lot of people don't realize it's abuse of the physical, which I think is the narrative still to this day is, oh, well, he never hit her, or, you know, she never attacked him. Like it seems like it's just, people think it's physical only, but there's coercion, emotional manipulation, financial abuse, so much more to it. And it's something that needs to be taught at a younger age. And so it can empower these youth to know how they can step back, how they should be treated, how they should be treating others. And I love programs, Respect Respect, Love is Respect, The Hotline, they're fantastic. You know, One Love Foundation, like there's all these great resources. And our main goal is to get it into schools, get these programs to get youth leaders and, you know, peer-to-peer action, so that we are, you know, working on that prevention. In the future, the numbers will go down, which is a hope.
Absolutely. I love the education for youth. I am totally all in when it comes to educating our youth. So I did co-found a program, which it really didn't have legs, and it really still don't, but it was the Man Up movement. Here in Alabama, we did do a little bit of work. But, you know, anybody that does educational outreach, awareness, youth programs, they're A1 in my book, because we have to educate our youth about domestic violence. A lot of young people don't even know the word. They might have heard it, but then they just blow it off because they're young, you know? I mean, that's the last thing that they're worried about is, you know, healthy relationships. Someone gives a young girl attention and love bombs her, she really don't understand anything besides that, right? So that's how a lot of abusive situations happen, is the love bomb. You know, we see that happening, and then, you know, and then at the end of love bomb, it just turns into violence and turns into jealousy and rage. So go ahead.
Social media is definitely playing a huge role in that. Mm-hmm. Today, it's just now, and we have to approach it differently. And, you know, personal relationships are so complex. And
mm-hmm.
These kids, like, the people that they see on social media, everything looks so good and everybody's happy, but behind the scenes, there's something else going on. And that's why it needs to be talked about. And I don't know, it's really hard to navigate, but we're going to get anything.
I mean, I think too with young teenagers, they don't know where to turn to. Mm-hmm. They don't know resources that are out there. I asked my 15-year-old yesterday if he had a friend that, you know, if he knew of a friend that was in a situation where they were being abused, where, how would you help them? What would you, do you know anywhere to turn to besides besides the parents? Where could you go to? He was like, I don't know. And that's really eye-opening, considering the fact that we started, and my 15-year-old son still doesn't know that he could call the domestic hotline. Mm. There are resources out there for them to be able to. I mean, I've told him too that there's the suicide hotline. All, you know, if you are in a need and you can't come to us, there are these resources. So that's why education is just so that these teenagers know where to turn. They know the signs. Yes, things happening. They know there's resources out there. They know that they can, you know, they can find the trusted adult that they do. All of it has to work well in a, you know, like, get it.
You're about, Tara, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up? Okay, I'm sorry.
But no. I think you and Nicole both were breaking up a little bit. So if y'all
want to... I thought Nicole was breaking up. Let me move into a different area and see if that helps.
Yeah, you both might need to a little bit. So.
Okay.
Sorry about that, girls.
No, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you're recording, right?
Absolutely. Why not?
Is that my answer?
Let's see. Tara, speak.
Is this better? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you a little bit better now.
Okay.
Nicole, speak.
Hi, how you doing?
Sorry, Nicole. Sorry, Tara, that happened. And go ahead, if you want to finish, would you finish it up about the teenage, about them knowing about resources?
Okay, so I was asking, I don't know if you heard this, I was asking my son.
Yeah, I did. I heard all of
yesterday,
that.
Yesterday, okay, mm-hmm. About resources.
Yeah.
And I believe that's where an education program would work wonders.
Absolutely.
So children know, teenagers know where they can turn to. And not only if they just have the resources, but again, they need to know what the signs are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nicole touched on that briefly before that, you know, domestic violence is not just hidden. Sometimes that could be the last thing. There could be emotional abuse, the financial abuse right beforehand. If they know the signs, they know how to help themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and not just the social work school. Like, some kids don't go there. Don't want to expose themselves to.
Nope, Nikki, you're breaking up again. I can't
hear. Yeah, you're breaking up, Nicole.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I just was, you know, it's like kids are afraid to go to a social worker in school. It should be a little bit more openly talked about so that they're not afraid. Just more conversation with amongst their peers and in the school with teachers. Everybody should feel comfortable. Teachers should know how to respond to a child that comes to them and has a question. And that's important. Trauma-informed response is important because sometimes we say, well, why? And it almost makes them look like the victim. And it's very scary for them to do that.
So I want to ask you both a question, and you can both answer separately. Give me your answers. Okay. For Tara, I'll start with Tara first. What do you think? Why do you think people are so judgmental and people are so shameful when it comes to domestic violence?
Well, I think because it's so shameful because it's like they don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know, you're telling someone your story and you just look at you like they don't believe you. They can't believe, well, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just get out? And it's not that simple. It's not to get out of a relationship, especially when your heart is, you know. So people judge, and that's hard. Then they're, you know, they don't know who to turn to. They don't know who to say it to be judged. Yeah, I mean, I have a relationship in my teens also that I don't really talk much about it. I didn't know that he was abusing me until he hit me. So I didn't know that there were signs, and I didn't really like to talk to anybody about it. Right. I still to this day don't feel comfortable talking to all the details. Right. It's hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I feel the same way. It's very, it's scary. Especially when you're dealing with, the police, I would say in general too, it's like, there's so many, they just don't know how to speak to a victim. I feel like they're very abrupt, and it scares the victim into not wanting to talk, and it kind of turns it around into a victim blaming a lot of times. And it's scary. So I think that's why people just shut it out and like ignore it and move on and don't want to expose themselves to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, as we've been talking about teenagers being educated, young people being educated about where they can get help and how, you know, the red flags and the boundaries, you know, and setting themselves up for a healthy relationship and how to distinguish a healthy relationship from a toxic or abusive one. You know, we got to look at adults too, right? They were once teenagers. They never got that education. So we're dealing with a whole generations actually, of people who never have been educated about trauma, being trauma informed. And that goes across the board, you know, from law enforcement, from, you know, judges, people in the courthouse, people out here in the streets. So, you know, as we think about education, we just got to educate everyone, I think, and have more of an outreach because of that reason, you know, because it's so easy to say, well, why did she stay? Well, she shouldn't have stayed in that. I mean, she should have left a long time ago, but they don't know the circumstances that led the victim to actually stay all these years. Right. So.
Yeah. Well, abusers are really good at charming. They're really good at bringing you back and manipulation. They know how to work that angle. They know how to get you, you know, oh, that was just once. I'm so sorry. I really do love you. Let me buy you this. Let me take it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so scared.
Yeah, there's just so much to it. It's like teaching the youth, I think, is the best way to bring those numbers down. With so many being abused, you see it on the news every day. It's like heartbreaking. It's like it's happening again and again and again. And I hope that years to come, with putting these programs in the schools, that we can see a difference. I know it's not going to end completely, like Tara said before, but to see a difference would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what are you guys looking forward to in the future when it comes to the Gabby Petito Foundation? Like, I know you kind of like talked about youth education and, you know, education in schools and stuff like that, but what are your major goals in the future?
Well, I think we have I would say three major goals in the DV area is, obviously, prevention and education was the first one. We'd love to get into helping train first responders, police officers, trauma-informed practice. But it needs a lot of work and a lot of funding out there. But we're going to try to go out and partner with as many people as we can to get these first responders training. And I think the other focus is the survivors and after the fact, after they've been through the trauma, they got out safe, and now what? Can we empower them with skills and strategies for like long-term mental health care, self-care practice, education? I'd love to be able to send survivors, you know, to self-defense classes, yoga, meditation, just teach them these like practices to build them up and, you know, make them find their power again. You know, that's I think three major goals that we have. If you agree with what I said, Tara, with everything you said, Vicki.
About the survivors, to make them believe that, make them know they're more than just a survivor. They are a person. They have goals. They have ideas. They have a tribe. They have beauty within themselves. They're not just the abused. They can go out and still have a beautiful life and do the things that they love.
Absolutely.
But taking care of themselves is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Self-care is number one. As a former survivor myself, as a survivor, we have to do a lot of self-care and be very careful not to be re-victimized by people. If we tell our stories in public or, if someone finds out, oh, she's a survivor, all that comes along with it. So I really admire you guys for what you just said about survivors. That means the world to so many. And I'm sure my listeners are going to be like, so many of them are survivors. And so they're hearing your voices and hearing what you're saying. So that means a lot to them, I know.
Yeah, it hurts my heart to know, like, after leaving a situation, and Gabby didn't have that opportunity, unfortunately, but you're probably a broken down person and you have to kind of like reinvent yourself or find yourself again. And it just breaks my heart that some women just stay in that survivor mode where they are just so broken down and depressed. I want to find a way to empower them so they know they're better than that and they deserve so much better. And it's important to me. I don't know. I think about if Gabby had gotten out of that situation alive, what I would have wanted her to do. And I hope that she's inspiring through her little bit of presence on the internet that she had. I hope she's inspiring every young woman out there, or just people in general, to live life to the fullest, be fearless, and, just be who you want to be. And don't let people walk all over you. And it's unfortunate that she was in that situation, but here we are, and
she still lived, tried to go on adventures, and that's what I think everybody needs. You can still live. You still need to go out there. You still need, if you want to go on a vacation, figure it out. Go out on vacation. Do these things that you love, because if you only have this one opportunity to do that.
Amen. I love what both of you said. I think that it was poignant, and I think that you matter, and so many women, and I know, just personally speaking as a survivor, when you come out of abuse, you're lost. You don't even know who you are anymore. It takes that part of you and it just rips a hole in your soul. So it's so damaging and so traumatic, that just all of the outbursts and all the things that you go through, that you have to rebuild who you are again, And it took me very many years to find out who I even was again. I mean, in this life. And, I find myself walking through this world, and now I know what my purpose is. And for so many years, I didn't know who I was. And I didn't know, what purpose I actually had. But, now God's kind of shining a light for me. And it's women like you, it's families like you, who also keep me going. Gabby's spirit, she keeps me going. It keeps me wanting to be a better advocate. It makes me want to do better for women and be my very best. So if I can empower women who've been through this to get back up, there is light on the other side of the tunnel. They just have to find their inner strength and figure out what that is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't know how much time we have left. I wanted to mention our website.
Yes.
I mean, haven't added anything new yet. GabbyPetitoFoundation.org. First of all, you can go there and donate, of course, which would be amazing. But secondly, we're going to be adding a blog. I'm getting some survivors to submit stories. They can be anonymous or not. And I really think it's important to share stories because it empowers other women that are going through it now, other victims that are going through it now. And I want it to be men, women, and whoever wants to share their story to So other people can relate to that in a way. Mm-hmm. And we're also thinking about starting a podcast ourselves. So that might be in the works. So
that's amazing.
Fun.
Yeah, amazing.
We also have a store too that we have a lot of t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, there's stickers, and all of the proceeds go to the Gabby Petito Foundation to help more victims or survivors.
Yeah. And our favorite product is, it's actually words right out of Gabby's mouth. It's just be a nicer person. And it's just so cute that she says that, because that was really, I think, at the heart of who she was. It's just like, she couldn't understand why people were not nice, or, you know, people were bad. So I just love that one so much. We have stickers and t-shirts, and it's just great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite. Well, because there is a TikTok. I don't know. I think Rose has it on her TikTok. And it's just the cutest video that she made. And at the end, she's like, just be a nice person. And it's the cutest. It's just her voice, her smile. It's everything.
Yeah. I made that one on our foundation TikTok. We have a TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I actually saw that 2 days ago, and I watched it probably about 20 times. Because it made me smile. It made me laugh. I mean, that little, be a nicer person. It's just so adorable. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to share it on my Facebook, but I was like, is that being too, like, grabsy? So I was like, I'm going to have to ask them if I can share that on my Facebook. So I would love to.
No, you can absolutely.
You can definitely share that. Yeah. We love that. So.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. But I do want to tell everyone, if you want to go to the Gabby Petito Foundation, it's GabbyPetito.org, correct?
GabbyPetitoFoundation.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I left out. Sorry about that. It's GabbyPetitoFoundation.org.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Why have I not got to edit? I just don't edit, guys. So if y'all get all of these interruptions with their voices or with me, we're sorry, but so we've got like a minute.
It's okay, it's real.
It's just real. Yeah, we're just being real. So
yeah. Life, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is life.
Life happens.
That's it. So I'm gonna give you, is there anything else that you two would like to say on the podcast before we hang up? Any takers?
Just thank you everybody for listening, and
I mean, I love what you said in the beginning about the domestic violence hotline. If you are in danger, please, or not really in danger, 911 if you're in danger, but if you're in a situation you're not sure, or if you have a loved one who's in a situation, please contact the hotline. Hotline.org is really great for chat too, which Their chat advocates are amazing, by the way. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I just thank you, everyone, for your support.
Yeah.
Misty, thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. So I will finish talking to these ladies, but hey, listen, thank you, girls, for coming on the podcast. I honor you both, and I honor Gabby Petito's spirit. She's here, and she's working through you guys, and I'm so honored to have you both. I'm so honored to have you both as a guest.
Thank you so much, Misty.
Thank you. Guys.
It was an honor.
Yeah, it's been an honor. I just love this. But thank you for everyone listening. And you heard Nicole, go to the hotline, the National Domestic Violence Hotline. If you know something going on with someone and you just want to talk to somebody about that, or if you're a victim yourself and you just need some advice, okay, how to get a safety plan, how to get out, how to collect things up to where you can leave a domestic violence situation. Believe in yourself. You're worth it. And I will catch you on the next podcast. Bye, everyone.